We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, the Sunday night / Monday morning version, depending on where you happen to live. We are sponsored by WinBet. We greatly appreciate them for that. If you could please rate or review the podcast, it'd be fantastic. Also, goes a long way to helping people find the podcast, helping people say good things about the podcast. If you enjoy listening to us, could leave us a few stars and a good comment. That would be very nice. We are also live on StreamYard here. We're live on Facebook Live. We're live on YouTube. So if you're listening to us there, want to comment, please feel free to do so there. Obviously, like us there also. So, Jeff, we're into week eight. We're about a quarter of the way into the season. Time to kind of, you know, assess where you are. Standings start to matter a little bit. Stats start to matter a little bit. How is everything in your world?
Good, man. It's funny. My 15s are way better than my 12s. I don't know what's up with that, but they are.
Nice. That's a good thing because your 15s are more expensive than your 12s.
True. I want both to kick butt, though. My 12s are not doing well enough. We'll work on that. We got plenty of time. And here's the dumb thing. You know, I think it's human nature. Spend more time looking at the live stats, looking at the rosters, thinking about plotting your moves and the teams that you're doing well than the teams that really need the help.
Yeah, it's very easy to do that. And late in the season, I think that's probably a good thing too. But early in the season, I try and give all the teams kind of the same amount of attention. But it's hard not to get a little more excited about the good ones or the 15-teamers that are a little more money involved. But I'm doing better in my 15s than 12s. Also, one of my 12s is pretty good. One is really bad. It's just gotten horrible pitching problems so far. So, long way to go. A couple of good ads here and there. A couple of good drops. Maybe we'll solve that problem. But you said your 15s are doing pretty well though, huh?
Yeah, let's not talk too much about that. I don't want to make this a humble brag session. It's May, so let's keep moving.
Better to be good than bad. But yeah, let's look into week eight. We got an interesting schedule in week eight. We have two teams that play eight games this week, Jeff. We got the Twins and the Angels. Yep. Of course, two of those games are seven inning games, so not quite a full eight game week, but still, six full games and two shortened ones. So a big schedule there. And if you play in an NFBC type format or any format that allows you to make Friday hitter moves, those teams have five games the first half of the week. That's a pretty nice setup there.
And the way teams manage their rosters, I mean, you can't possibly bench everybody for the doubleheader. Yeah. I would think Mike Trout's going to get five games probably. Maybe Shohei sits one of those games. Yeah. Rendon's coming off an IL trip. Maybe he sits one of those. Fletcher's banged up a little bit right now. Maybe he sits. He might even sit anyhow. We just dropped him in one of our leagues. But point is, you can't sit everybody. And so some of these guys are going to play a lot. So it's going to be fun. Like I'm all over Jared Walsh this week. I mean, not that I wouldn't already be all over Jared Walsh, but yeah, he's going to get extra run this week.
Yeah. And maybe you're a little more all over Taylor Ward or Jorge Polanco or some kind of fringy guys, yeah, especially in 12s where you can add players that, you know, an edge here and there in some runs is a good thing. And, but it should be a fun little schedule there. We got 9 teams that play 7 games. There's a lot of teams that are playing full slates. We do have 3 teams that play 5 games, Jeff. The Royals, the Brewers, and the Cardinals play 5.
Right.
And on the AL to NL thing, an interesting development. JD Martinez has 3 games this week in the NL Park, but he also has 8 games in the outfield. I think he's going to qualify at outfield this weekend, which is pretty nice. You can kind of start to move him around, open up some spots and move stuff around. I think we're finally going to get there. We kind of figured it would happen, but you know, I think the 2 months in is a good thing.
Yeah. You know, what's really weird is the St. Louis two game stretch from Monday through Thursday.
It's against another NL club. It's not like they got an interleague series. It's just a really random 2-game 7.
I don't get it at all. I don't understand why they did it that way. It's two and you know
yeah. I get tomorrow. They played the Sunday night game, and maybe that's the answer. They played the Sunday night game in San Diego, so
travel overnight, home rest day on Monday.
But why Thursday? I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's a weird little schedule, and the poor Royals have 2 games this period, and it's against Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff and 2 off days. That is, if you own any Royals, is a good week to use your bench this week.
Yeah, that's right. It certainly is. So
it's just tough on the Royals there. Yeah, but especially because of the way they've been kind of scuffling. I just abused the Todd Zola words mean things thing. Scuffling means battling and fighting, not like struggling. So struggling is a better word. Let's be more precise.
Yeah, no doubt there. On the good schedule front, the Yankees have a really good schedule. They have 4 at Texas, 3 against the White Sox. Should be pretty nice too. The Nationals have 4 in Chicago and 3 against Baltimore. We always like facing Baltimore pitching. This Dodgers offense is wild right now. We'll get into Corey Seager here in a second. He's out for at least 4 weeks with the fractured hand. But the Dodgers have 4 at Arizona, 4 at San Francisco. And it's weird. You look at the Dodgers offense, you're like, eh, you know, they're kind of struggling. Didn't say scuffling. But they're tied for the lead in runs in the National League with your Reds. And they may have shifted today. But for all the struggles the Dodgers have, and they have had that, they still manage to score some runs. Just shows, I guess, how deep they are.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's funny. I mean, they just struggle against the Marlins. But that was Pablo Lopez, too. It's not exactly like, you know, it's a bullpen start or anything like that. But I think it's something there. You're going to have to just deal with them a little bit there. I think we saw today it was Gavin Lux at shortstop. I think that's their approach to replacing Seager.
I do, too.
But that also – and that maybe gives them some flexibility to move Max Muncy over to second, which is why you look at their other moves. It's Matt Beattie that might play some first. Albert Pujols is joining the team. And Yoshi Tsugo, you know, 2 of the worst players in baseball. But there's a lot of – or at least worst hitters in baseball this year. Don't mean to defame Tsugo like that. But, no, sorry. I couldn't resist the joke. Thank you. But you know they can. It gives them options at least. You know the Dodgers. They love them options, and that's the thing that they are looking for. That and there's no shortstops out there. I mean, look at what the Reds tried to do in trying to find a shortstop. There's just nothing available.
Yeah, good week. Good week for your boy Kyle Farmer this week, though. He actually had a pretty nice week, especially in Coors.
Yeah, well, because it was in Coors.
Yeah,
and he got to play. You got to play him and the Pirates before that too, which is almost like playing at Coors.
I think the guy this really quietly helps is actually going to be Zach McKinstry, who was going to come back off the IL and not really have a place to play. And suddenly now, like, it's kind of open. Like, he could play some second base. He could play some corner outfield. I think that he's a guy that's going to come back and really not have a hard time finding at-bats after his, you know, nice hot streak earlier. And obviously, Bellinger's going to be back at some point here. He's back in the he's going into rehab assignment this week. But I think it's going to help McKinstry for a couple weeks. I think that if you can pick him up, he might be a nice little sneaky ad. If he gets hot, maybe he sticks in the lineup.
Yeah, that's right. And so the Dodgers are really busy. They had a 5-game week this past week. Now they get the 7-gamer. This is where it starts to get intriguing. You know, like they have to manage their rotation a little bit more. They have to manage, the health a little bit of their hitters and all that. And this is where it really starts to get tested. They are able to, the Seager injury happened after that, but we'll see. They did a bullpen start. It was today, and Jimmy Nelson made the start. Now, David Price is close to coming back. Gonsolin's probably a week after that. I mean, I don't know. Is the plan to get Price up to speed? I didn't see the note on that. So you may have to help me out on this one there. But will you go after Price at all? Who's going to be starting this week? Is it going to definitely be a bullpen start?
I had Price in my conditionals kind of a ways down. I didn't actually get him.
Okay.
I just don't think he's going to throw enough innings. He threw 30 pitches over two simulated innings on Friday. I think he's probably going to be like a piggyback kind of guy. I guess it would be on next Friday when he does. But I think he'll get like kind of the middle innings, I would guess. Maybe they try and throw him three or four, my guess. So I wanted to pick him up, but I had him way down in conditionals because it's hard to kind of time that win. But the interesting part is because if he looks really good, what do they do the week after? When Gonsolin comes back, they really sound like they want to ramp him up. So I think Gonsolin will slide in and Price will go back to the bullpen. But be interesting what happens if like Price comes out and throws four really clean innings, what they do the week after that, or if Gonsolin and Price piggyback with each other. So they do have options. I found the bullpen game kind of interesting today. I guess that, you know, they didn't really need to. They had Walker Buehler on full rest, but they pushed him back. I guess they were just they figured they had, at some point they had to throw a bullpen game, so they might as well do it now. But that's the second week in a row if you do play in, you know, like a salary cap league where, you know, two steps really matter. You have other really good options.
Yeah.
In a deeper draft league, like you're not sitting Buehler anyway, but it's the second week in a row where Buehler was supposed to throw twice and didn't. So, but they play seven games next week. So I'm sure they were just trying to figure out, they had to throw a bullpen game in there somewhere. They figured today was a good day, but it's interesting. They for all their talk about, we need to win and start get going. They're still managing this. Like they're going to be fine in the regular season.
Did you play the Diamond Challenge this year?
I did. I have not started especially well. It's a wild, wild challenge here because everybody's pitching is insane. There's teams with like ERAs in the 1.8, 1.9 range because you throw six good starters every week. I had a couple of bad starts early on. I'm finding it hard to catch up in there, but obviously a long way to go. I wondered about Freddie Peralta last week and I didn't. He's listed as a reliever and it's hard to do because then you're suddenly like some weeks you're only playing three closers that way. It's a 6-4 split and there's but one of those it's actually a 6-3 and then a swing spot. So it's kind of hard to throw relievers or starters relievers sometimes. But after that 2-start week, I sure wish I'd done it because he was awesome this week.
Yeah. So the thread I've seen going around Twitter this week is Freddie Peralta an ace. Has he graduated to that level? I mean, you know, he wasn't even like graduated into the starting rotation. It's like the exact same Corbin Burns path as last year, where you didn't know if he was in the rotation until late in spring training. Even in the case of Burns, actually, he wasn't in the rotation until like a week into the season.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden he's a top starter. Is he there for you?
He's probably right behind that first tier for me, but he sure is darn close. I mean, he's funny. You watch him pitch. I mean, the slider is just so nasty. It's just a matter if he can, you know, it's been what, you know, seven, eight starts. Can he really be a two pitch guy and be a starter for the rest of the way? Cause he throws a few changeups, a few curveballs, but he's pretty much fastball slider. I was surprised. I looked at him earlier. His fastball is only 93. He just seems like he throws a lot harder than that for some reason. I think it's just cause the stuff kind of jumps on hitters and they look like it's faster than it is. They're late on stuff, but I mean, that slider 45% whiff rate, the fastball has a 32.5% whiff rate. You don't see that on too many fastballs. So obviously it does something right, despite the, you know, not elite velocity, but yeah, I mean, he's right. He's right on that verge for me. I have him in one of my main events, and he's kind of just picked up the Luis Castillo slack. We were talking earlier that my Luis Castillo team is actually doing pretty well. It's not winning the league, but it's over 100 points. It's kind of sick to think about if I've taken anybody there. But, you know, when you take Freddie Peralta later, you know, it kind of makes up for the Luis Castillo bashings that I incur every week.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you have Castillo as your problem. I've got Giolito in the league, and I know we're going to talk about him, too. We've had the think pieces, the verbal think pieces. What's wrong with this guy? Well, Giolito's kind of entering that territory. But the thing is, there's been so many other good pitching performances, you can almost make up for it a little bit there. Dare to dream about what would be life be if you took someone, literally anybody else but Castillo there in that second round spot.
Because ideally you have, you know, Buehler, Scherzer, or Woodruff, or Burns, and then you have Peralta on top of it. And that's how you, you know, compete for overalls and that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, it's May 16th. I'm not giving up on Castillo yet. It's been very frustrating. It's been rough. But I mean, I saw he got dropped in one main event today. So finally someone had enough. I guess they figured if they weren't going to throw him for two home starts this week. I think the Reds are home for both those games. They're not going to throw him for two starts this week, then why use him? But
right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nowhere near even considering that. I'm not even considering benching him yet. If he struggles twice this week, I might start to think about the bench, but I'm nowhere near dropping him. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, you get to watch that one really closely next Sunday because it's Peralta versus Castillo. So that should be fun.
Oh, that is going to be a fun game.
Yeah. And it's just, and it's not just the pitchers in the second round. It's almost anybody in the second round would have been, you know, look at Bo Bichette and what he's doing as just an example there. Yep. Not to pour salt in the wound, but
I'm saying. Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper were the guys kind of in that first half of the second round. I guess Adalberto Mondesi is the one guy that, you know, if you took a hitter, it really wouldn't have worked very well. But it'd be interesting. It's one of those things that when we see in August, you know, maybe Castillo runs off a nice set of starts here. I saw a stat earlier today where he's really struggling putting away guys with two strikes, which, you know, from my eye test, I've watched a lot of his starts and I've seen that too. And it just seems like he gets two strikes and just can't put guys away. Whereas before last year, you know, you got two strikes, you're kind of dead and he just kind of had you where he wanted you.
Yeah. Well, and I'll go into further detail. It's his put away pitches, the changeup.
Yep.
And, you know, two starts ago against Cleveland, he had one. That's one swing and miss on his changeup. If that's your go-to pitch,
it seems impossible considering the numbers he's had in that last couple of years.
Yeah, well, it's lost 2 miles, and it's just the placement. You know, the thing is, okay, you've diagnosed the problem. What are you going to do to fix it? Well, going to Coors Field isn't a really good idea to try to fix that. So that's part of the issue. Yeah. But, you know, and he's always been a slow starter. He's always been like a I hate pitching in cold weather type of guy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can't guarantee perfect conditions though either. I mean, just kind of pitch through it.
If you're gonna be one of those dudes, you've got to be able to pitch in all kinds. I mean, you can't just pitch when it's 85 and warm. You know, you gotta be if you want to take that step up and be one of those guys, you gotta be able to. I mean, Max Scherzer goes out in 53 degrees and he's out there battling no matter what. So it's he's a young guy. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. The next like 4 or 5 starts should be fascinating.
So let me ask you this. If Castillo is dropped, and if say it was your league, I know it wasn't, but say if it was in your league where he was dropped, how much are you bidding on him next week in free agency?
I'd be super aggressive. I just think that the amount of upside in that profile is something you won't see on Fab the rest of the year.
I agree. I'd be, you know, and now the thing is, we'll have the luxury of not one, but two starts to see this week, which also means you missed out on a two-star week. That's the part that's crazy about this all.
Yeah. If he somehow, you know, comes out and throws two gems, I mean, he's going for $500-$600 next week.
Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah. And I know I wouldn't be doing $500-$600 because I don't really have that to spend in my main. So at least
you haven't bought much and you're kind of middling and he comes out and throws two good starts, like why wouldn't you just unload at that point and try and make a run, right?
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
That's a good segue into Fab though, because we are there. Pitching was really tough this week because I needed starters in a couple leagues and I found it hard to find guys that I was even remotely interested in starting. I guess the first one we got to talk about is Logan Gilbert. He was not available in either my main events or my onlines, I don't believe. Obviously, he was
really call.
I think he was gone in both of them. Yeah,
that's impressive. I gotta say,
I drafted really close to the season. I think there was some buzz about him in spring training, so that probably impacted that a little bit at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's impressive in the mains too, because I mean, it's hard to hold a starting pitcher stash for that you don't have a defined return date, you know, for that long a time. I can see maybe a week or two, but I'm amazed that they held him on throughout like the alternate training site and all that stuff. But
he was 72% owned in Maine entering tonight. So it was about, you know, almost about two thirds of the league. Was he available in yours?
One of the two, the 327, the Vegas league. And he was available and he went for 277.
I was going to
guess
second
place went to 125.
How do you feel about him? Because it's funny. I mean, everybody was so excited and then everybody watched the start and like, oh, he doesn't really look very good. And he kind of just threw some flat fastballs, leaving stuff up, a lot of stuff in the middle of the zone. Gave up 4 earned runs, 2 home runs, did have 5 strikeouts and no walks in his 4 innings. Obviously, he's the top Mariners starting pitcher prospect. Mm-hmm. In 2019 in the minors, had a 2.13 ERA across like 135 innings, was really good. That was across A and double A. 11 Ks per 9, low 2s walk per 9. Did you get a chance to watch the start? Were you unimpressed as kind of everybody else was?
You know, I graded on the curve. I mean, the thing is, we saw his start. We saw Lynch's start for KC, the three starts from him. And you know, I think the reaction is to kind of group them together, like I just did right now. Yeah. But they're different. Lynch was all over the place. His command was all over the place. And maybe, you know, he gets a tighter strike zone, but, you know, at least Gilbert wasn't walking anybody. I think he's got a slightly better team behind him in Seattle too. I think that helps. I wasn't going hard after him either, if that makes sense.
I assume that means you weren't the backup bid either then?
I was not. No. Okay. The other thing too, I mean, you look at them and the Mariners have the 6-man rotation. I think that's a real drag. I mean, you're never getting 2-start weeks. Never.
It's funny. I liked Kikuchi and Justice Sheffield a lot, and it's been frustrating. I mean, Sheffield hasn't been very good, but it's been frustrating. Mm-hmm. Every time you look up, you're like, oh, Kikuchi pitched on Monday. We're going to get 2-start week this week. You're like, oh, they have an off day, so he's not pitching twice this week. So it's it's been tough. I mean, obviously, if he has a good start in a 1-start week, that's fine, but you do want those 2-start weeks, especially the guy that, you know, is probably in a 12 or is towards the backer end of your rotation, and that makes a difference. And you end up sitting him for one and playing someone else for two, and he pitches well, and it's frustrating. So the 6-man rotation is tough, and it's real. It's you're going to get less starts, which matters.
Yeah, and you know, it's between the AL West is like the graveyard for 2-start pitchers. I mean, between the Angels and the Mariners, the Rangers doing their tandem starter thing, it makes it really difficult to get the innings you're looking for. And, you know, your A's, I know we're going to talk about one of those guys coming up soon. The Astros are going to be great candidates, by the way, for having 6 starters when they get everybody back. And they're already kind of that way with Odorizzi coming back. I've got a couple places where I've got Luis Garcia and Christian Javier, and I'm a little bit worried. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's just when they get everybody back, it's going to be pretty tight.
It's tough though, because with them, like you don't want to miss McCullers and Greinke starts, and Greinke probably wants to stay on. But you're right; they do have enough guys that they could definitely do it. I wonder what they do, because I have to think a couple of those guys they want to throw every fifth day.
Yeah, I'll say this though: they do get Urquidy back. Yep. I should say they just lost Urquidy, and I don't know when they're going to get Urquidy back. So when they do get Framber back to start, okay, well that still gives them a little bit of time. Once they get Urquidy back, though, one of Javier or Garcia is out, and they're both good pitchers. I mean, I'd hate to lose that.
For sure. You can totally see they'd both be really good on the bullpen, probably as a multi-inning guy too. So there's value to the Astros, but that would make it fantasy-wise, it makes it a lot less valuable for sure.
They're going to go into Rays land here, which, hey, if you get the primary reliever instead of the opener, great.
Yeah,
it's just you don't know any given week. I mean, the Rays, I think you were on Twitter talking about this. Like, do we know when Yarbrough's starting? No, we don't. Is it today? No, I don't know yet.
And then he pitched really well, but it was, you know, 3 middle innings against the Yankees. He threw 3 shutout innings, but you look at that and you're like, oh, I got 3 shutout innings. That's great. That's a lot better than some of the other blow-ups out there, but like no chance for a win, no chance for a save. And it's just, there's only so many times you can throw that and hope it kind of fits right. And if they start him, then he throws 3 or 4 innings and then you're really screwed. But he's supposed to go twice this week. Are you using him? Because I think they pushed him back. Now Patino is going to start on Tuesday. So now Yarbrough's back to the same thing. One
illustrating the point quite adeptly there.
In real time too.
Yeah, that's great. And that's the thing. I mean, I've got McClanahan. I like the pitchers. I like Patino. Yeah. I think it's Patino, right? I think it's because they don't have we don't have the Inye in there instead of the in. So
Patino, there you go.
Yeah. But you know, Dick Mountain's pitching well now, all of a sudden. Glasgow's not gonna move. I love McClanahan. I like Fleming. Fleming threw a nice little 5-inning gem today. That was ideal. I don't even see, you know, it's, again, really hard to get 2 starts out of any of these guys.
It is. I mean, it's funny. We talked about, Gilbert and Lynch, and I thought Gilbert was going to come out and, like, look like McClanahan did, because McClanahan looked so good in that first round. It gets you so excited. So I wonder, it obviously didn't keep the price down in your league. It'll be interesting to see his next start, though. But let's stay in the division. James Caprillion came up and pitched for the A's this weekend with Mike Fiers back out. The A's have had a little bit of injuries in their rotation also. He kind of danced through some raindrops. Like the ending line was good, but the first inning was scary. He loaded the base with no outs. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Then he settled in nicely. The second, third, and fourth was really nice. In the fifth inning, he got in a bunch of trouble and got through it. But 5 innings, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts, 1 earned run. one of those guys that we've kind of been waiting on hearing about forever. He was in the A's trade with the Yankees for Sonny Gray. They got him and Dustin Fowler. Obviously, Dustin Fowler is somewhere else right now. Didn't work. But Kaprielian had Tommy John in 2017. Just had struggled to really get going. In 2019, he threw 68 innings across three levels. Was pretty good. 3.18 ERA. Strikeout per nine at 9.9. He looked good to me in terms of stuff and makeup. But, you know, just I don't know how much we're ever going to get in much more than five innings. But you know, it could have been really bad, and it could have been one of those starts like, oh my God, we don't want this guy. But I thought he showed me something. I had some small bids in on him. It's weird. I had bid like the 30s or something because I was desperate. I needed some starters. And in one of my mains, I got outbid, and one of the mains, there was no backup. So there's no way to really know exactly what to bid. Good luck trying to figure out bid prices this year.
Exactly. And that's not even talking about the 12s.
Yeah, 12s are wild.
Yeah.
I saw Tommy Pham going to 12 this week for $9. I don't even know what to think about that.
Yeah, I have no answers there. I mean, that's – and I, you know, the thing is, sometimes you don't even notice that they're available. That's the weird part about that. And it just shows that, hey, take a look. Just take 1 minute per league and look at the drops.
Yep.
Something catches your eye. Make a little bookmark on them. Come back to them. You can always delete a bid. Because you're going to come back.
On the flip side, just make sure you click that percentage owned column because it shows percentage owned across the whole contest. Yeah. And if someone will jump out to you. I had Frankie Montas and Yusei Kikuchi available in one of my onlines. They both got dropped last week, and they're both 97%. And you click that percentage button, I mean, those guys jump off the page. It's so highly owned that it's tough to miss them.
Yeah, but Kaprielian was easy to miss. You know, he was probably zero owned.
0%
owned. And he only had one start.
Yep.
And so that, you know, you really have to dig on him. You really have to know. And they're skipping him so he doesn't face the Astros, which honestly, totally good with.
Yeah, I wasn't throwing that start. So the fact they bumped him, I mean, they have an off day on Monday, so just went with it. But I don't know. I think he has a little bit of a chance to stick. I think that Mike Fiers, we don't really know what's going on there at the moment. Lizardo's kind of throwing from 60 feet, but not off a mound yet. I think we're 3 to 4 weeks away at least there, and they're going to be careful with him. So I think he's got a little bit of a runway here to maybe make, you know, four, maybe five starts in the rotation. And if he pitches really well, maybe they figure out a way that, you know, he's just better than Mike Fiers. And, you know, that's not a huge step, or someone else gets hurt. You know, Cole Irvin's been fantastic, so I don't think he's moving anytime soon. But so once Lizardo comes back, it's tough to fit everybody in, but I think we're a ways away from that right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think I had Kaprielian in a keeper league like 2 years ago and finally gave up on him. And of course, it's a score sheet league. So that's the thing. It's like, okay, I probably could have gone after him here, but I don't know. I was very calm in my bids there and I didn't get him.
Yeah, I was pretty calm too. I bumped him up a little bit late just because there were no starters that I wanted. So look at the two start guys. There are a couple guys I noted down here on our rundown, Zach Davies and John Lester. As I looked into both of them, I got away from both of them pretty darn quickly, especially Lester. There was nothing there I liked. And if you want to go with Davies, you know, you can kind of look at 2020 and 2019 and you know, buy in there. But, you know, the K rate's down to 13%. The walks are way up. There was enough Davies here that, you know, at St. Louis against Washington, the maps, I wasn't jumping the matchups either. I stayed away from both guys. Were you in on either one of them?
Well, this is where I admit
it. Or do you own Zach Davies everywhere still?
No, I do have him in one league, but I cut him in another. I did pick up Lester this week in one league. I don't know.
Do you want to sell me on it?
Not really. I mean,
all right.
It's against the Cubs and home start at the Cubs and home start against Baltimore.
Yep.
It was like our fourth bid, and it was. He does have those two starts. Shu and I got him in one of our two leagues, and I don't know. We'll see. I mean, yeah, it was like kind of the last contingency guy, and we happened to get him. Got him for a buck. Thanked and dismissed Martin Perez for his nice last 2 weeks.
That was nice two starts this week. That was a nice pickup.
Yeah, it worked out well. But you just can't – and this is going to be a one and done with Lester, I'm sure. But we could get Gombert on this one, especially against the Cubs. That is kind of scary.
The Cubs one scares me. I get you're going with veteran Guile here. You're figuring out that he just figures how to get guys out. I mean, his velo's down to 88.5. The K rate's at 15%. There was a lot there that I was like, oh, I just can't do it. I also don't like John Lester, so there's that too. I don't really want to root for him.
I don't understand why, Scott.
Because we gave him seven runs in a wild card one game playoff, and he couldn't even. We traded for him to be that guy. Gave him seven runs. And he lost the game. So
hey, yeah. Someone just stole a base. I think I heard.
Don't even Terrence Gore nightmares in my head somewhere. Jared Dyson must have had 19 steals in that game. Oh yeah, I just think, you know, he was gonna be the ace. Like, he traded Cespedes for him, and you give him seven runs in the game. Like, that's got to be a win if he's gonna be your guy. And you know, Brandon Moss had five RBIs, two home runs that game. It was a nightmare game that the Salvi Perez played, and they actually took the lead back in the 10th. Alberto Callaspo got a hit to give him the lead. And I'm like, I can't believe they're going to end up winning this game, and then just disaster in the 10th. It was awful.
Can't blame that on Lester in the 10th, though, can you?
No, but he pitched like 7 1/3 and gave seven runs or something like that. It was terrible. Like,
gave you length.
Great. Fantastic.
Did you blame the manager for having him go that deep into a game? How does he give up seven runs?
I think it was like 7-4 in the 8th. He came out and gave three runs really fast.
Why is he coming out? I mean, I guess, you know, that's the analytical edge hadn't really kicked in at that point in time. I mean, that's asking too much out of the starter. That's not Lester's fault.
It was that year where they were the absolute best team in baseball at the All-Star break, had something like 8 All-Stars, and then couldn't win a game for like – and barely – they lost the division, barely snuck in. I don't think they trusted anybody in the bullpen then. It was just one of those years that halfway through, I was pretty sure we're going to go to the World Series, and then at the end, I just wanted the season to end, and mercifully it did.
I think John Lester needs a hug from you.
Yeah,
I think you need to realize that, we just hadn't gotten through that whole third time through the order
there
thing
you go.
Yet.
Was there anybody else two start wise you liked? Like, Mike Foltynewicz has two. I looked and it was against the Yankees and Astros, and I quickly crossed him off my legal pad there. Was there anybody else that you were even considering? Because I could not find many two start guys that I even wanted to get near this week.
I'm pulling mine up now to see it. Casey Mize, actually, I liked almost as much as Logan Gilbert, maybe even more.
I've been surprised by how few guys Casey Mize is striking out. His strikeout rate is down to 16%. Walk rate's about 10%. I think he's okay. I think that, you know, that's probably a decent one. Who does he face? He faces the Mariners and the Royals. So the matchups work well, you know, better than the other ones we've talked about. I wasn't super excited about it. I didn't have him available in any league, so I didn't really have to think about it too much. He was gone in both my 12s and 15s, but I don't know. I was a little surprised by how low the strikeouts have been so far.
Yeah, I hear you. I just think the stuff is there, and at some point, strikeouts come. It might not be this year. That's the thing. But I saw that as a possibility of like someone I could use. We didn't get him. We got outbid, so that's fine. But
was he available in Maine?
Yeah, he went for 43, and we had the second place bid of 26. And I'm looking to see if he was available in the other one. No, he was not available in the other Maine.
Yeah, he was taken in mine. I would have been. I definitely would have had him above Davies and Lester for sure.
Yeah.
Let's jump into the bullpens a little bit. We don't have you know, anybody that rolled into like a closer job or anything at all this week, but Michael Fulmer was popular. We talked about him, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago when he had two starts, and I really liked him. I liked the stuff. The velocity's up. He's actually looked really good. Strikeout rate is up to a career high, 22.3%. The walks are down a little bit. I actually dropped him last week, and I have much regret about that. He was kind of pitching in middle relief and coming in as a piggyback guy, and I just couldn't use him. But this week, he came in for Gregory Soto when he blew up and got a save. And then he pitched in the last two innings of the game on Saturday night and got a win. And he shut it down. They scored, and then he shut it down. I think he gave one run, but it wasn't his run. It was the runner on second.
So the ghost runner. Run. Yeah.
The ghost runner scored. Tell you what, he's interesting right now. He went for a lot of money in my main event. I tried to get him back, and he went for over 130 – or he went for 126. So I felt a lot of regret. You drop someone to go for 126 the next week, but he's throwing more changeups, kind of like he did when he was good. You know, I think he was rookie of the year, wasn't he? I think he was rookie of the year. But he's throwing a lot more sliders. He's throwing 32% sliders, 8% more than his career average. He's changed his pitch mix. He's throwing harder. I really like how he looks right now, and I think he should be closing for them. And I think he might get into that role and kind of run with it for a little bit.
Yeah, only available in one of my two mains. The one where he was available, he went for 80 with a second place bid of 74. Was my second choice this week, but just because I'm not quite sure whether it's going to be him or Soto for the next chance, but he is pitching better than Soto. Soto's got a great fastball, but he just has no clue where it's going.
Yeah.
You know, he's actually like hit the ball, win a free dinner sort of guy. I mean, it's just – You know, it's really wild. I think he has the highest, like the tallest recorded pitch.
I saw that pitch. Season. That pitch was awesome.
Yeah, it was beautiful. But
that pitch was like the little Statcast, you know, the old Fox Hockey puck streamer thing. Right. With the thing was awesome. It just like fully went off the screen. It was beautiful.
It was. And
I think they'd like to use him. I just don't think they want to use him as a closer right now. I mean, the walks are insane. What is he? 16% walk rate, something like 7.3 per nine. It's really high. I think they'd love to bring him in, like to gas guys and strike guys out in the seventh and eighth and use somebody, you know, probably a right hander. They, you know, so does lefty and Fulmer coming in. Brian Garcia is not the answer. I think we're pretty clear there. But it seems like Fulmer's got a chance to maybe take a good chunk of this job, though.
Yeah, he does. Now the question is, how many saves is that worth? You know, Detroit's not as dreadful as they were a couple of weeks ago offensively. And some, you know, if you streamed against them, you actually kind of had some, you know, mixed results, some disappointing results mixed in there. So, including the aforementioned Daniel Lynch, who had a pretty bad, you know, they swept the Royals, in fact, now that I think about it. But so maybe they're okay. Maybe there's some opportunities there, but I did bid on him, and you know, Shu and I need a closer in our second main pretty bad. Actually, we probably do in our first too. You never don't need a
closer. Yeah, you never don't need closers. So you mentioned that he was your second choice. Was your first choice a Hansel Robles?
It was. All right. And it's so funny because so I went to my daughter's confirmation today. So I had to like stop doing the bidding myself around like 4:30 or so, got off the phone with Shu. And then I like text him like, hey, can you double check to make sure Robles isn't available? And then I go, and he showed me, you know, so I put it in. I go, can you put him up to 39? And just, that was kind of just the number I thought of. So he did that. We won 39-38. So that was pretty cool.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Now he's got to be actually okay, but he did get the save on Saturday. And the thing I like is, you know, Colum A is relegated to all sorts of junk relief. And you know, Rogers is struggling lately. Gave up the game winner today. I think he's given up runs in his last four. So Robles, warts and all, I think is the guy that gets the next chance. And
I better go check that game winner today because the replay crew may still take it away at some point. So they may change the final score of that game.
Oh, you're so salty about A's and replay. It's beautiful, but it's true. You've been so heartily screwed.
Even Chapman had like a quote about it after the game. It was pretty funny. But
well, and Bass is like, I don't want to elaborate too much because right. I'm going to get in trouble because exactly. He got screwed directly. And, and indirectly, we got screwed. Although yeah. I tend to think of it as we got screwed directly and his was indirectly.
But, I do. There you go. So Robles is interesting. I mean, the strikeouts are good. He was obviously really good in 2019 with the Angels saved to 20-something games. It's interesting. You look at 2019. That was the one year where you got the walks under control. The walks were like 5.7% that season. He's up again this year, and there was the one thing that pulled me back off him a little bit. You know, I don't know what the role is going to be here. It's clear that, you know, they want to find someone, and like you said, you kind of laid it out with Rogers and Colum A. Do the walks scare you, and if so, how much?
They worry me. I like that he struck out six batters in the last 2 2/3 to kind of make up for that a little bit. But here's my problem. I mean, I had to kind of push those worries aside. We need somebody else. Shu and I have Jake McGee.
Oof.
And that's getting a little dicey, to say the least.
I think it's more than a little dicey right now because Tyler Rogers keeps pitching so well.
Rogers got the save today, didn't he?
He did. I think McGee was probably not available. I think he pitched the last 2 days. But
yeah, so McGee got screwed on Friday. He really shouldn't have been blamed for that one. He should have been able to start that inning. Yeah. He struck out the side after that. And so I really can't blame him. But then Saturday in the extra inning game, he gives up the two-run bomb to lose the game. And that's not great. And Rogers got the save on Thursday, which was not – and this was following a rest day on Wednesday. It wasn't like he was – like, you know, McGee wasn't available. It's just Rogers pitched. And Rogers got a 0.76 ERA. So, yeah, I've got a half a closer in McGee. We've got Amir Garrett as kind of a stash. Who, by the way, Amir Garrett has pitched pretty well the last 3 weeks.
And he came off suspension today and pitched, had a scoreless inning with two strikeouts. Yep. I actually added him for $4 in one of my main events. Just kind of a, I don't know who's going to get it next. So give me the cheapest guy that's pitching well right now.
David Bell doesn't even know who's going to get it next. Antone has pitched 2 days in a row and got the save today. Sims actually pitched pretty well on Saturday. That was the 12-inning game. In the 11th inning, it was his second inning of work. He had one walk and then a double plus the ghost runner, and it's Coors Field. And then he came back and struck out the next two guys to get out of the inning. And David Bell goes, mark this down, he pitched well. And so you like when the manager says something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if Sims, you know, pitches. Now, they got seven games this week. No rest after a Coors Field series. That's kind of noteworthy. I think it's some combination, but Garrett's in the mix, I think. I know he's been pitching in lower leverage situations, but he's pitching himself into the mix. I think he'll be there eventually. So hold on to Garrett if you have him. I think that was a good pickup by you. We grabbed him for a little bit more last week and won, and we needed it, 19-17. Then, you know, pitches one game against Pittsburgh, and then they say, okay, well, we've agreed on a reduction of the suspension from 7-5. I'm like, you know what? Missed three games in Coors Field. You know, it sucks that it's on my active roster, but still, I'll take that. But now at least – but I'm probably going to stash him this week. I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out. But
the funny thing with the red situation is Sims and Garrett were available in my main events. Garrett went for 4. Sims went for 134.
And that's kind of welcome to 2021. Yeah. I mean, it's there's a lot of randomness baked in there. So I – My rambling way of saying is I had to take a chance on somebody.
I had Sims higher. I will say that. I had Sims higher. I got outbid, but I don't know. I think it's interesting there. The thing with Robles, it's really, you know, kind of the one selling point is you look at 2019 and he didn't just get 23 saves. He was really, really good. He struck guys out. He didn't walk guys. He didn't give up home runs. You look at everything there. He had a 2.48 ERA. He's just a really good pitcher that year. None of us believed it for a while. And then by midseason, everybody's like, oh my gosh, this guy's pitching really well. So if you're going to pick up somebody, at least give me someone that has shown it before and done it in the ninth inning. You know he can handle it. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Twins kind of gave him a two or three saves in a row and see what happens.
Yeah, it might take him 3 months to get those two or three saves in a row, but
that's fair.
I'm sorry.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Terrible.
Unless Jake Diekman just automatically pitches against them every day, because boy, they owned him this weekend.
Yeah, that was wild. Yeah. Robles, you know, thing is, if his bad season also is the weird 2020 season where he lost velocity, but how many people came back off that long extended break and weren't the same? I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I'm good tossing that and seeing if 2021 can look more like 2019. And if he doesn't, you know, after three or four, you know, two or three weeks or whatever, a couple saves, then you kind of dump him. I mean, I think it's a good spec.
Yeah. So, I got the price right at least. So there's that.
All right. I want to get into some offense, but first, a note from our sponsors.
Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
So, Jeff, I want to ask you about Jonathan India, since he is on your Reds. He's had been dropped in a bunch of leagues. He struggled. He started well, then struggled, then got hurt. He was available in a lot of spots, second and third eligible. Homered twice over the weekend in Coors. How are you feeling about India at the moment as a Reds fan?
We tried to boot and rally with him a little bit in the Vegas main, but honestly, I'm okay getting outbid by him. It was by Mike the Mouth that got him on this one here. And the thing is, we needed one more bat, but I really didn't want to go to the hilt on this one here because he's not playing necessarily every day. And once Joey Votto comes back, that gets squeezed even more. Farmer's in the mix. They're playing Senzel in the infield now. Yeah. And I think that's the big worry point for India is Senzel's played a number of games at second and played at third today. Yep. And you know what? He did well in Coors. Great. I don't know how much power he really totally has, though.
Yeah, I had a small bid in on him, but I got outbid, and I was kind of the same boat. Like, if I got him for the price, I was going to use him in the multi-position stuff and kind of move him around. Like you mentioned, they have 7 home games this week, so I would have used him this week. But I was kind of in the same boat there. Yeah. Offense, we talked about starters, and offense was kind of tough to find this week, too. Brendan Rodgers, you have any interest there? He's a chance to be active at the end of the month. I just look at the Rockies, and I just don't know where he's going to play, how that's going to work, how their situation is going to play out once he gets if they call him up right when he's healthy.
I'm intrigued, except I don't trust the Rockies and playing them every day. Especially, Fuentes is coming off an amazing week.
Yeah, he was really good.
I think that hurts him a little bit. Connor Joe is now becoming a cult hero because, of course, he is.
He has his own section. He has his own section at Coors Field now. It's pretty awesome.
I don't understand. I don't either. Yeah, so that's fine. So that these are all drags on his value. A little bit there on Rodgers' value. Granted, they trade Story, and I think that's where the speculation really comes in. You get the second half of the season, or at least the last couple months, when it's prime hitting time in Coors Field. Yep. So I get that. And we haven't had prime hitting time Coors Field much this year. Earlier this past week, we had a snow out. Yep. I mean, got to keep that in mind. What a long season we've got here.
Yep. It feels like we've been playing for a while and we're a quarter of the way in the season. So it's, last year we'd be coming down to the home stretch. So this is a whole nother animal here. We talked about the Dodgers a little bit earlier with all their injuries. Matt Beatty should play a bunch now, whether it be in a corner outfield, whether it be at first base. They may move. They could move Muncy around. They have a lot of moving parts right now, but they don't have a lot of healthy parts. So Rayleigh's getting at bats. So they're just getting a lot of guys that are playing that you didn't expect. But you look at Beatty, and he's pretty good hitter. You look at his minor league, and he's got always a good average in the minors. In 2019, he played a bunch. He had 268 plate appearances. They had some other injuries. He hit 265, nine mm-hmm. home runs, threw in 5 stolen bases. He was really bad last year, but his 54 plate appearances and kind of interspersed in a bunch of stuff. I don't think we can carry too much there. He's hit 327 so far this year, only one home run. He feels to me like a guy in a 15-teamer who's not going to hurt you, might help you a little bit based on the lineup around him. Not someone I'm super excited about, but I think he's playable with the first and outfield eligibility.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I dislike that the Dodgers went out and acquired not one but 2 stiffs to try to displace him at one of the positions he played.
Odd week for the Dodgers. I get it. Maybe Poole's going to come in and mentor everybody, but it's just weird that the whole thing in Anaheim was like he didn't want to be there and he's going to play every day, and now he's at a spot where he's definitely not going to play every day.
So I'm kind of a mixed emotions on Pujols. I mean, I know some people that have had personal interactions with him that speak really highly of him. He was on our show. Listen, I interviewed him maybe 10 years ago, and he was super nice. I've also seen other people have had not so great interactions with him, and the whole like causing a scene when it's obvious he's not the best player, that, you know, he's demanding to play every day at first base and Jared Walsh is playing out of position to accommodate him. It's just, you know, it's not great. And that's the thing I don't like. So I don't know. I'm kind of divided on that. I don't know what he's going to mentor. And he also just, you know, all this talk about, you know, now I'm just going to move on. I don't know how much he's going to help the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't either. And Setsugo, you know, there was a lot of people that liked him coming this year, has been really bad too, but it was a weird, strange week there. But sticking the NL West, what does one do right now with Dalton Varsho? He was available in some leagues, catcher eligible with speed, which is always something that everybody wants to jump at. You know, you look at 2019 in AA, he had 18 home runs, 21 stolen bases. He got called up last year and wasn't good. He's not been good so far this year. The D-backs just have a ton of injuries on offense. I mean, just this week, they lost Esdrubal Cabrera. They lost Christian Walker again. They lost Carson Kelly, although that's going to be – sounds like it'll be short-term, but still like a toe fracture, and I wonder, you know, how quick he can actually catch. I don't know what to do with him. His strikeouts are better this year. They were bad last year. You know, the barrel rate's pretty good, but his hard hit rate's low. Every time I look at him, I find one thing I like, one thing I don't like. I had a bid in on him in the main event. And I think it was the main event he was actually available, and I got outbid. But I just how do you feel about Varsho right now? Because the star was pretty bright coming into last year, and has definitely been dulled since then.
So the Kelly injury is the mover here. Without that, I just ignore him, to be honest with you. But Kelly's going to be out a while. I actually bid on him in a 12, although he's my second choice. I ranked William Contreras ahead of him, which shows the wildness of a 12. I saw him dropped in one of my mains.
Yeah.
Partial,
oh, wow.
That is. I don't understand either. But, you know, so I'll probably bid on him next week. We'll see.
Yeah, he got picked up for 49 in mine and dropped in yours. It's wild how that works. I'm surprised Contreras wasn't added last week. That's surprising.
Well, it's a 12, so yeah. Just keep that in mind.
I would have definitely bid Contreras above Varsho, though.
Yeah, that's the way I had the same amount. I just prioritized him that way. Someone picked up Francisco Mejia to drop Varsho. I think I dropped Mejia to pick up Contreras or Varsho. So this is a 12. So I might be completely wrong on this, though.
Mejia came
back today.
But he's backing up Zunino, right? Like he's gonna play.
Well, he was hurt in the last 10 days. He started today. I think he may have had a hit or two, but
Zunino's more than 50%, right? Maybe a 60-40 kind of thing.
That's how I viewed it. And Zunino's a really good defensive catcher with some pop.
Yeah.
You know, he's a batting average killer, but whatever. The Rays, you know, the Rays aren't playing rotisserie, you know, so they don't care. Rays don't care about our rotisserie team anyhow. We knew this a long time ago, but
we did know that. Mejia's done very little in his, I mean, I know he's a huge prospect coming up with Cleveland. Yep. In 2019, he had 8 home runs, hit 265, but I don't know. I mean, he hit 077 last year in 42 at bats. He's 300 right now and 267 at bats. We don't know a lot. I saw him available in some spots too, and I couldn't get that excited about it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Any Odubel Herrera love coming back from the dead and playing every day? If you need an outfielder that's in there every day,
I did not bid on him.
Yeah, I had him like down a couple lists. He's got a 6-game hitting streak. He's playing every day, but there's not a lot of excitement there. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of power or speed, which you just it's hard to get neither of those.
He's got some of each.
He does. He hasn't seemed to shown it, at least lately.
And how many times have we talked about how bad it is to find outfielders? So I get it.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into some news and notes. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff. I'm going to go through some of this stuff quickly. We'll start at the top with the major ones. We'll talk those more extensively. But Corey Seager is kind of the big news of the weekend. He's out at least 4 weeks. I read that as 6 weeks by reading between the lines if I listened to Dave Roberts. But fractured hand after hit by pitch. It cycled really quickly that night. I think it was last night. It was Saturday night. He got hit and he came out of the game. Then his hand's swollen. We're going to see what happens. And then the x-rays back. He fractured it. So it's a bummer. He has not been hitting especially well, so I think it's even more difficult because you knew that hot streak was coming at some point. How good Seager is, and this is a tough one if you drafted him in the second round.
Absolutely, absolutely brutal. And you know our shortstop options have run out too. That's the thing that's tough. I was looking on the waiver wire in a couple leagues where I had a lesser shortstop to replace. I'm like, nope, there's nothing there.
Yeah, it's you know, there's like a Kevin Newman, Nick Ahmed going into Coors this week, maybe, but it's not super exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Arizona's got 7 games this week. That would probably be where I'd go. Anaheim also has 7 games this week, and Iglesias was available in some leagues.
8 games for Anaheim this week, actually.
Eight. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Seven and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a bummer. I mean, I really like watching Corey Seager hit, and it's you kind of knew it was coming at some point. To get the slump and then not get the hot streak now is tough. But I mean, I think it's pretty easy to me that you got to hold him through this based on the timeline we've seen.
Yep.
Aaron Hicks went to the 10-day DL, a torn sheath on his wrist, which I don't really know exactly what that means, but it didn't sound good. Sounded like you don't think it's going to be too long, but it's Aaron Hicks, and he's always kind of – everything he gets, I think you can wait a little bit longer. Another guy that's been very disappointing this year, hitting third for the Yankees. You thought we were going to get some good stuff, and we have not gotten any of that.
Yeah, not the most disappointing Yankee, although there's kind of a bidding war on that right now. There's a lot of guys that could qualify under that. A lot of people say Gleyber Torres. A lot of people say, Judge until this weekend, and that took care of that. Yeah. Just
now,
pretty quick.
Now he leads the majors in home runs all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's like, okay, he's fine. But, you know, my personal candidate, and I'm going to take another L on this, would be Clint Frazier.
I'm stunned how bad it's been.
Yeah, he homered today too, though, or was it yesterday? He had a homer this weekend.
He and Sanchez went back to back, which is like, I don't know how that ever happened, but they went back to back. And I looked, and I was like, oh, it must be Adam Plutko, and there it was.
Yeah, that's right. And Sanchez also. I mean, he lost playing time to Higgy Ashioka. I mean, that's your sign right there. I mean, that's really bad. So, yeah, it's funny, and yet the Yankees are fine. They're going to be all right.
And the funny thing is they're slowly the pitching, which we worried about, starting to come around. Domingo Germán pitched really well. Mm-hmm. Corey Kluber looks better than he did. Taillon has kind of been up and down. But, you know, if Severino comes back, it's weird that they have Cole and they could have a really good 2-5 or they could have nobody 2-5. And I don't think we really know the answer yet. It could be one extreme or the other.
Yeah. Just think about, you know, Cole, just the way he's been so far this year, too. I mean, it's just three walks. Three. Yeah. It's crazy.
He and DeGrom are just so insanely good. It's just it's a clear tier one, and they're separating themselves from Shane Bieber at the moment a little bit. Bieber struggled today, but it's clear those two guys are the two best pitchers in baseball, and it's not that close to anybody else, I don't think.
Yeah, thinking about I don't know if I might take Bieber over DeGrom just because of the injuries, but I mean it's gonna, you know, DeGrom, I think we're gonna get back on Friday, so we'll see.
That's the hope, at least for the Mets. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but that means three starts already down from DeGrom, essentially, and that matters. It does matter a little bit.
Especially when it's so good, and every start you miss is just so good. But yeah, we mentioned Carson Kelly, 10-day DL with a toe fracture. It sounds like he might just miss 10 to 14 days. I want to see as a catcher, obviously, with that. But it's right. Too bad because he'd been the big breakout catcher. He'd been one of the top five catchers hitting wise. And, we kind of expected him to be good last year, and he really struggled. Mm-hmm. 2019 was really good. And he was kind of re-breaking out, I guess we call it, if 2019 was the breakout. But disappointing because he was having a great year.
Yeah, he was.
AJ Pollock went on the 10-day IL with a left hamstring, as we talked about. Dodger injuries is another guy that opens up playing time there. So I think with Pollock, we see that I am expecting it to be more than 10 days. I think we're probably looking at least 2-3 weeks with this one.
Yeah, because this is an aggravation of a previous injury, and we got his history. I mean, let's face it. I mean, he's missed so many games in the past. You got to assume that that's going to be an issue going forward too.
We talked about Bryce Harper last week. I think it was a Sunday night game last week where he bunted weirdly because he hurt himself on a swing. So today he sat, and he came in the game, came in and bunted because obviously the shoulder is an issue. And he had a throw from the outfield that apparently looked like it was really weak. And then he came in and hit again in the ninth. I don't know what the Phillies are doing here, but it seems like Harper's not right.
Yeah. I think you and I were texting about this, and I was talking on Twitter. So when it happened, you know, the Phillies announcer was like, Bryce Harper's in the game, even though he was out because of a sore shoulder. And then it must be an injury to Kingery. It turns out Kingery was out because of dizziness. That's not great. No. But just put put a pitcher there. You got your prize commodity. Put the fanatic. Go get, you know, get Gritty. Bring him down from the, you know. I don't think the Flyers are busy right now, but you know, anybody except your superstar bunting because it hurts too much to swing, and then he's in the game in the ninth inning with two outs and he worked a full count, fouled a couple pitches off before striking out to end the game. But Oh my gosh, it's painful to watch. I mean, this is a guy who's slugging 600 and has 11 RBI because the Phillies can't get anybody on base in front of him. It's a really weird season.
I just don't know what they're doing. Like, if he can go up there and bunt, like, he just should not be there. I mean, he's so important to the team. If you know he can't go up there and swing normally, and they must know that, he must tell them, I'm going to go bunt. Like, you're right. Just hit anybody else. It's one game on May 16th. Like, it just seems so short-sighted.
Yeah, just it's bizarro world. And, yes. So here's what kind of happened is DD Gregorius is day-to-day.
Yep.
Then Real Muto became day-to-day. Yep. And they're playing in interleague, so that means they had a DH going. But you know what that means? I hate when teams do roster management this way, that they have like 14 pitchers.
And it seems like they all do right now.
We're facing an AL team. We need to carry an extra pitcher. We don't have to pinch hit, so therefore we don't need it. Well, this is why you need the extra hitter. Yep. That or like just platoons, especially when you're the Phillies and your outfield stinks. So dumb.
I feel you. Ronald Acuna missed the weekend, but did pitch hit on Sunday. Pretty good sign that the Braves think that he will he will be okay there. Obviously, great news there for the first overall pick. Giancarlo Stanton, we were kind of waiting for this. We finally got a weekend where he didn't play, frustratingly. Missed the weekend with quad tightness. He's one of those guys that we're going to run into this week that you're just going to have to check. You're going to have to check lineup, see what the Yankees lineup is looking like before you decide on Stanton.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm checking to make sure, but they I'm pretty sure they play tomorrow. Yeah, they play seven games too this week. There's a lot of, nine teams play seven games, and there's a decent number of Monday games. So obviously you have to make the decision on Stanton right away with the game at Texas. And maybe buy an extra hour, but that's about it.
And they're facing Jordan Lyles tomorrow too. Boy, you don't want to miss that start.
Yeah, that seems like that. Is that something you'd be interested in?
Yeah, I'm all over that one. Kettle Marte and JD Davis, two guys that are starting rehab assignments. Marte on Monday and JD Martinez or JD Davis, I think a little bit later this week. So guys that are starting to come back and get there. Rowdy Tellez, we talked about him last week. He's kind of a pickup. He was coming back up. Sounds like he's going to hit the IL with a mild hamstring strain. Their manager said they think he's going to go on the IL. Chris Taylor, the Yankees, missed with the Dodgers. Another guy that missed a game for the Dodgers, wrist issue. Jeff, do you know that Chris Taylor has 32 runs scored?
I didn't until I read the outline.
Second in baseball. That is insane. He's one run behind, and he gets Acuna, 33-32. I had no idea Chris Taylor had been scoring quite that many runs.
Yeah, batting towards the top of a ever-shifting but good Dodgers lineup. And
it'll do the trick, won't it? Yeah, that's solid. We talked about David Price returning to the team this week. Mets had a rough start to the game. Jeff McNeil and Michael Conforto both exited with hamstring tightness. Not exactly what you want to see here. It seems like McNeil's had a bunch of stuff going on this year. They're another team that they do play on Monday. They're at the Braves on Monday, so we'll have to check. I'm worried that
big McNeil's series.
Yeah, it is. McNeil and Conforto, hamstring tightness. You worry that's going to be a couple days, though.
Yeah, and you look at they're facing two lefties anyhow, and Fried and Smiley. I think it's a pretty good bet that you want to sit those guys, unless maybe if they're in the lineup, you go with it. But how often do you see it? Oh, it's all clear. He's in the lineup. And then they aggravate it on Monday or Tuesday, and you're sunk again. I don't know.
Especially Conforto plays the outfield, running around, running to first base. Mm-hmm. A lot of ways that can go sideways. What's up with Mike Moustakas? I saw him miss the weekend with a heel contusion. You think he's an IL situation? He'll be back for this week.
I don't know. I mean, I think they wanted to wait to make that call when they got back and have them reexamined. And you're going to see some. I think Monday is going to be a big news day for
injuries. It's the worst because lineups are set. You can't pick guys up anymore. And I hate Monday news is the worst.
Yeah. At least, you're hoping to get it before the games start. Pulling up the schedule, first game isn't until 6:40 Eastern. That's
I like day games, but I love when there's no day games on Monday.
I 100% agree. 100% agree. Can't stand day games on Monday, especially Patriots day games. I mean, that's just the worst. But anything early where I have to make this, have to make the information with lack of full knowledge or whatever constitutes full knowledge these days, it stinks.
Charlie Blackmon missed the weekend series with the Reds with a mild groin strain. So he's another guy you'll have to check on. They are on the road to start the week, but you hopefully get him back for the weekend. Jeff, Charlie Blackmon has quietly been really, really kind of poor, hitting .242 with two home runs and no stolen bases. He's at 21 RBI. Joys of playing in some games at Coors Field, but a lot of hard hit balls, but and the strikeout rate's down. They could be fine, but he's been really quiet so far.
Hard to believe I got such a great bargain on him, Scott, in the main.
Always. Right?
What a deal. What a deal. I can't complain because Jordan Alvarez was a good deal. So it was Kevin Kaufman in that range. I mean, I passed up on all those closers for those guys. And, okay, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
If it makes you feel better, I had Blackman in the main event in 2019, and I don't think he had a home run until April 24th that year. Mm-hmm. He didn't have another one until like May 7th and ended up with 32 home runs. So he's one that gets crazy streaking, crazy hot as it warms up. So I think you'll still be fine there.
Yeah. See, also snow out in Coors Field earlier this week.
It's a different place the first 6 weeks than the rest of the year. It just is.
Just riding it out.
Anybody else news and notes wise in your mind? I think we kind of hit them all, but was anybody, I know Kenta Maeda was talking about a little bit of a tweaked groin during the game today. We're going to talk about him in a second though. Max Kepler left that game on Sunday with a tweaked hamstring. We just seem like we have a lot of day to day guys right now. Like you said, I think you're right. I think Monday is going to be an interesting day with lineup. See who's playing or not.
Toronto, a little bit. I wanted to talk about the bullpen situation there. Romano had a bumpy finish to today's game, if I recall correctly.
They came and got him for the last out, right? Someone else came in for the last out.
Yeah. And earlier they had a visit where I was like checking to make sure he's okay. And Jeremy Beasley came in and it was really scratchy. So problem is, I don't know who the hell to pick up. You could pick up Tyler Chatwood, I suppose, but
see, you say that in a bad way. Tyler Chatwood, 0.61 ERA in 14 and two-thirds.
Oh, he's always better as a reliever.
Strikeout rate's 28%, 7% walk rate. He hasn't been under 10% since 2014. It's weird. He's throwing 47% cutters this year, and he's pretty much cut out the curveball and the changeup. I think as he's become a reliever, you can go with a two-pitch guy more than he could as a starter. His cutter has a 46% whiff rate so far this year. He's been insanely good. It's stunning, and I'm someone who's always argued against him because of the walks, but if he limits the walks and he's gassing as a reliever, he's kind of interesting. Do you see the quote on Romano? They said that he went out there because he looked kind of weird or didn't look right, and he said he's fine. So I don't know. It was a strange quote after the game.
And it's just I honestly, Charlie Montoyo is a mix-and-match guy, and he hasn't seen fit to give Chatwood a single one of these save chances. He's got 7 holds, so in a Souls League, you're fine with him. But
it sure feels like they're trying to do everything possible to not just have Jordan Romano be the guy, though. Like they just, if they wanted him, the guy could have been, but then they had Dolis. Obviously they signed, what's his name?
Kirby Yates.
I almost said Heath Bell cause it was Padres. My gosh.
Same number of saves for the Blue Jays for you and TGFBI. So either way, I mean, it's fine.
Just to update you, I still have 0.
Do you have 0 totally?
Wow. I'm not exaggerating or being false in that regard.
Are you still trying to get saves there?
No, I'm punting it now.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I have Peter Fairbanks, but he's better for wins and ratios anyway.
Right.
I think I might have bid on Fulmer and got outbid, and that was kind of the end of it. I think I'm going full punt now. I just got to go for it.
Diego Castillo pitched the 6th today, by the way.
So did Rafael Montero, who I think is fully away from that job. I think he's a drive, and he gave up runs. He's a mess. I don't think I hold him right now, despite the every once in a while Graveman sets up and they throw Montero the 9th. But I think Montero's a drop.
The thing is, the Mariners are full on that team right now. Just Graveman is there for whenever they decide is the most important situation of that day. Whereas Montero is there to clean up the mess, and not clean up the mess, but to swoop in for the 7, 8, 9 spot in the order whenever that comes up.
Kendall Graveman still hasn't given up a run, Jeff.
He's good. You're not bitter. I know.
I'm actually not. He didn't work out as a starter, but you could give him credit for making him a reliever. But yeah, I'm bitter about that trade in general more than at Kendall Graveman personally.
Yeah, he gave up his blood and tears for this for that franchise and in his shoulder. We're at it, but
it's true. I want to talk about a few players, but first a note from our sponsor, Vivid Seats. The world is coming back in the NFL and Major League Baseball regular season, NHL and NBA playoffs are upon us. I don't know about you, but I'm pumped for the recent release regular season NFL schedule. If you're like me and you like seeing all these events live, then head over to Vivid Seats, the ultimate go-to source for live events. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and comedy shows, Vivid Seats makes it easy for you to discover your favorite event. Find your seat, gain entry, and make new memories. Just download the app, choose your city, and get access to the largest selection of tickets on the games and performances you love, including the NFL, MLB, NBA, and more. For a limited time, Vivid Seats is giving our listeners 10% off your ticket, up to $30 max. Use the promo code ROTOWIRE when you check out. Every purchase is backed by its 100% buyer guarantee, and you'll even earn cash back with the Vivid Seats reward program. Vivid Seats, getting you in the game. So, Jeff, we kind of hit on Aaron Judge. Quietly has 12 home runs, only 24 RBIs. He's not high up the list there, but he's hitting .298. K rate's down to 26%. Walk rate's at 13.5%. Jeff, I just want to bring him up because his hard hit rate's 59.1% and his barrel rate's 20.5%. It is bonkers how hard he's hitting the ball right now.
Yeah, it's just kind of like Stanton was earlier, you know.
Yep.
And the thing is, like, Voit's back in the lineup finally this week, so that's another guy that could be higher in the order ahead of him that can get on once they bring Stanton back. Point is, I'm not worried about RBI from Judge.
Me either. Yeah, I think they come too. And if you're gonna hit a bunch of, the only thing that I'm worried about with Judge is health. I think when he's healthy, he's gonna be really good. Hopefully he's staying with his yoga or whatever he did in the offseason to get his body right. As long as he's in the lineup, it's gonna be mashing, and I'm feeling pretty good about him as long as he's kind of upright.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that he's hitting .289. That's the thing I did not expect to see out of Aaron Judge, because he had that massive slump at one point in time. And you're like, oh, he's really having a terrible season. Next thing you know, he's leading baseball in homers, and he's hitting .289. Like, what happened there? What did I miss? I mean, I missed the Orioles in coming into town.
Yes, you and Gleyber Torres missed the Orioles. That's not good. Gleyber, his first home run, and then went on the COVID list. So that's too bad, because it was, as we know, he makes a living off the Orioles.
Or at least a reputation. I don't think he has done much against the Orioles in the last year.
Yeah, that one year he hit like eight or nine home runs against them, and it was just. But a couple of pitchers I want to talk about with you before we jump at it for the week: Kenta Maeda and Lucas Giolito. Let's start with Maeda. Maeda struggled again today. He had four innings. Yep. I know he had a little bit of groin tightness, but eight hits to the A's. He only had two strikeouts, gave him three earned runs. His ERA is up to 5.26. We talk about Castillo a lot. We talk about guys who have struggled. Maeda's right up there. He was a third-round pick, late third-round pick, early fourth in most mains by the time we drafted in March. K-rates last year was 32%. Everybody's really excited about that. It's down to 20.5%. That was before today. Only had two strikeouts, so he only pitched four innings, but that might have gone down a little bit. Walk rate's up a touch. The BABIP was .208 last year. He got a lot of help there. Now it's .350. You look at the hard contact, though. It's jarring. He was 24.7% last year. Really limited well. 45.9% this year. He's getting hit hard. He's not striking as many guys out. He's walking a few more guys. I kind of thought that I'd look at his profile and be like, oh, I see this turning around. I don't know if I do. There's a lot of bad stuff here as you get a little deeper. It's a small sample, so you know, turn it around, but there's not a lot to hold on to that he's going to automatically just jump back to 2020.
Yeah, I agree. He seemed to me to be like the poster child for, hey, I pitched against the Central last year.
Yeah.
Theory. And I don't want to declare ultimate victory on that, because I think there might be other things at work. But it's interesting. You know, Luis Castillo, Kenta Maeda, Lucas Giolito, who's also on our list, you know, pitchers.
Zach Plesac.
You want to throw Kyle Hendricks in there too. Play the what's wrong with game. A lot of them throw changeups. Castillo and Giolito especially. Now, Maeda doesn't. He throws a splitter instead. But it kind of makes me wonder. And in fact, last year, Maeda against the splitter threw that as the second most common pitch. He threw it 29% of the time. Opponents slugged .156 against his splitter. This year, they're slugging .395 against that splitter. It's not like they're killing it, but that's 200 points better. I mean, he's generating a lot fewer whiffs. It used to be a 45% whiff rate against the splitter. This year, it's 25%.
Yep.
Reason I bring all this up on this particular type of pitch, off-speed pitch that is not putting away, we talked about Castillo. Todd Zola brings this up, and he brought this up on the XM show today. We do a Sunday show on XM. Guys, you should listen, 1 to 3 Eastern time. And he talks about how the new ball might, with the raised seams, the different seams, might make it harder to throw the change a certain way and get the same sort of movement, the same sort of command. These guys are getting just crushed on their changeup.
That's interesting. I thought about that. The other guy jumped to my head there was Devin Williams, who struggled. You know, he was so dominant with that changeup.
Airbender. Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like he's finally getting it back now. But, you know, a guy that the first month of the season was not the same guy. That's interesting. So Giolito's the next thing I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. His K rate is down a bit, but it's still 28%. I see a lot more with Giolito that I feel good about than I did with Maeda. Walk rate's the same as it was last year. Swing strike rate's down, but it's still really good. It's still 14.9%, you know, and the same as 2019 when he was really good. I just wonder, maybe the only thing with Giolito is maybe we elevated him to, like, you know, tier 1A a little quickly. You look at his ERA, it was 3.4 in 2019, 3.48 mm-hmm. in 2020. Really good numbers, but not Bieber, DeGrom, Cole numbers. There were a lot of people that had him fourth or had him right at the end of the first round. I think he went like 11th, 12th, 13th in a lot of drafts as we got late March. I wonder maybe, you know, just with the walks, he's a little more variable than those top elite guys. I think we're going to see a really good stretch from him, but I think we're seeing that maybe he's tier two and maybe not tier 1A.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Last start on Friday, it was against the Royals. It was the first game of that doubleheader.
Yep.
And I was able to catch a lot because it was a standalone game. And I even tweeted something like, I'm nervous after three batters. It took 20 pitches to get through three batters. He's just not getting them, you know, misses. And maybe the Royals are just pesky at the top of the lineup. Maybe, you know, I think this is even before Carlos Santana came up, and Carlos Santana is notorious for working the count, but it's like, you should not be, you know, working this hard. And, it was, you know, I think it was one guy on and two outs at that point, but it's like, wow, it's full count every batter.
Yeah, so I think maybe the whiff rate in his fastball is down 10%, so there's maybe something there. Mm-hmm. The velo's down a little bit, but it's still kind of right there. I still feel pretty good about Giolito. I just don't think we're going to get – I don't think we're going to get the elite top, you know, top five starter, but I think you're going to still be – I don't think he's going to hurt you. He's not going to earn the draft price, but I don't think he's going to hurt you at all. I think you're just going to still end up – at the end of the year, I think it's going to be a really, really good year from Giolito. Maybe not the year you wanted, but I think it's going to be a really good year that's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, I'm looking at the velocities right now, and – they're down, but not by a lot. Yeah. So, for instance, four-seamer was 94. It's 93.4 this year. Changeup was 80.9. It's actually up to 81.5. Slider, 84.9. It's actually up to 86.1. It's almost like he's throwing too hard, but I don't know. I mean, the thing that's worried about Giolito is we've been making excuses out of him. Patriots Day. Oh, ran out of gas, was left in too long.
Yeah.
Oh, another day game, a doubleheader, yeah. You know.
And then you had the but the Royals home runs were not that high exit velocity and they weren't hit that hard. It's just like, you're right. It seems like there's always something in each start that we point to, but I still think it's going to be fine. I think it's going to be good. If I were in a trade league, I think if someone wanted to get rid of him, I think I'd be pretty happy grabbing mm-hmm. him at his current price. Whereas with Maeda, I'm seeing a lot of a lot of drop-offs there that I'm not nearly as excited about as I think Giolito will be fine. I'm actually worried about Maeda.
Yeah, and we made fun of JD Martinez for his "my dog ate my homework" excuses. I think Giolito's kind of in that boat, and he'll be okay too. Castillo versus Maeda, who are you more worried about?
Wow, that's a really good one. Both is my answer, but I'm a little more worried about Maeda because I wasn't as high on him. Kind of
same.
It was just that 2020 was so good, but I think Castillo's a little more to build on. I mean, I'm pretty worried about both guys, if we're being honest. I think I feel a little bit better about Castillo getting hot, making a good run here though.
Yeah. I've got Giolito on my watch in a couple of leagues, including one of my mains. I do not have Castillo or Maeda. Castillo I have in a score sheet league, but no roto leagues, and Maeda I have 0.0% of them, which is weird because I usually have a lot of them.
I usually do too. I just thought the price was crazy. I mean, it was just,
I thought so too.
And the people that drafted him had good reasons. The smart people had good reasons. I just couldn't pull the trigger in the third round.
Yeah. I this is a guy that we would take as our third fantasy starter.
Right.
Not even our second. No. And we're talking about third round. And, you know, it's not like he was 27 and finally got it either. You know, this is a veteran. And, you know, that's why I didn't have
fun to watch pitch. I hope he turns it around. But there's a lot of jarring stuff as you look at his profile.
For sure.
Marcus Semien is a guy on fire right now. He's hitting, he now hits 269, 9 home runs, 7 stolen bases. The second best second baseman right now, just behind Whit Merrifield, if you look at kind of fantasy value. Mm-hmm. And the price wasn't there. I mean, he was pretty well priced. It's just when you look at him, like his really good year in 2019, where I think he was third in the MVP voting with the A's, didn't strike out at all. It's like down to 14%, like really cut down on the strikeouts. Strikeouts are way up. There's up to like 26%, but he's hitting the ball harder. His hardest, he's never been over 38% hard contact guy. He's now at 42.6%. Hitting atop of this lineup is obviously an incredible place to be. Hitting, hitting second between whatever it's Bichette and Vlad, or whoever it lines up the certain day where he's leading off, whatever it may be. You know, obviously sets up at a really top of a really good lineup. Playing really well. I think the batting average is going to be the one thing that maybe can't stick up there if he's going to strike out that much. But it's interesting that he's kind of changed his approach moving to Toronto.
Yeah, I wish I had more of them.
Me too.
I have them in a couple of places, but not nearly enough. Combo meals are nice. I like them. Let's keep them coming.
I wish the A's had more of him too.
Yeah, I bet. Or the Reds, for that matter. Our Reds, needed a shortstop this offseason. That's all right though.
At least you didn't actually insult the incumbent and offer him a ridiculously stupid deal that, like, essentially was Bobby Bonilla. Like, we'll give you $1 million for the next 10 years. It's just absurd.
Yeah, that's true. Or trade for Elvis Andrus, but
my God.
But I mean, you traded Chris Davis, and
we didn't lose anything for Elvis Andrus. But by the way, I can't believe Chris Davis made a diving catch in the outfield this week. That was the most absurd thing in baseball all week.
Yeah. Then you saw him throw later in the game. You're like, oh,
he actually can't throw baseball. It's wild. He can't. No. He literally cannot throw baseball.
That was wild.
He looks like Mike Quackenbush trying to throw a golf ball.
Okay, there's just a single person targeted crack there, but I know the target, but don't know the reference, but that's all good.
You were there at Topgolf. He tried to throw a golf ball and what had the worst throwing motion of
all time. My God, you're right. I forgot about that. I thought this was a different throwing.
No, I only made the joke because you got nobody else will get it, but at least as long as you got
it. I thought you were just talking to Quack for a second there.
We talked about Freddy Peralta, so I'm going to skip him. Where are you with Brandon Lau right now? One more guy here before we get out of here. Hit a home run today, hit his seventh home run. He's hit the .195. The strikeouts are back to a big issue. They were a big issue in 2019. He really cut them down in 2020, and I think a lot of people were excited about that. Back up to 30% this year. The swing strike rate's at 15.8%, which is closer to 2020, so that's a good thing. He was 19% in 2019. The BABIP's .318 career. It's .241 right now, so maybe getting a little unlucky there. Hard contact's down, though. He's always a big hard contact. He's always like a swing and miss, but hard contact guy. He's never been under 43%. He's at 37% right now. Barrel rate's still good. Where are you on Lau kind of going into week 8, having a really tough start to the year? But, you know, as you look at his profile, there's some good stuff. There's some bad stuff. How do you feel about him going forward?
I mean, this is the same strikeout problem he had in the playoffs, too. It's not,
good point. And you pointed that out preseason. You mentioned that how much you were worried about him struggling in the playoffs. Then they benched him a few times in the playoffs. That's a good point. He just it's kind of continued from there.
I don't see any reason why he gets to have another plate appearance against a lefty either. 186 this year against lefties. OPS of 186 against lefties year and 44 plate appearances. 0.50. The 136 OBP is 0.50 slugging. He's had one single against lefties, I think, or whatever. How many hits he has against lefties? Those have all been singles. He hasn't even had an extra base hit. This also kind of leaks into the when the hell are the Rays going to call up Wander Franco? When are they going to call up Vidal Brujan? Both those guys need to be up. They're killing it in AAA. I think it could be as early as Thursday. They play they play Toronto at Dunedin. So it's essentially in Tampa.
That would not be very Rays, but those two prospects might force them to not be very Rays about their prospect, right?
I mean, isn't this a big series?
It is.
Is it too early to say it's a big series?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that anytime that plays in division, I mean, Baltimore's not, but yeah, at Toronto, I think it's a big spot. It'd be interesting. Which of those two guys do you think were to be the one that got called up first?
I think they call them up on the same time. Wow. I mean, they're both ready. I think that's. I think it might be easier if they call them up at the same time too. But and Kiermaier's at his home away from home on the IL right now. They're using Brett Phillips in center field. At least they did today.
Yeah, I know it's a great story from the playoffs and the walk off and all that, but it's not the answer.
Yep. So right now the Jays are 22-17. The Rays are 23-19. Wow. Four teams, all four games over 500 or better in the AL East. So, every game against each other matters a lot right now is the way I look at it. And the Rays, I mean, they just had a good homestand. They've won four in a row. They swept the Mets. That's great. They get Baltimore on the road to start the week. Then they're at Toronto and it's really at Tampa. So, you know, I think that's a great time to do it travel wise, setup wise. Maybe you don't have the home crowd as much pressure, but these are big games. They got a 4-game wraparound series against the Jays starting on Friday. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens this weekend. Willie Adames homered today too. And that complicates the analysis maybe ever so slightly.
Yeah.
But and Adames is good defensively.
Yeah, I feel like they have one spot. I think it'd be tougher to get two spots, but you're right. Maybe they just do it at the same time. But they just, it's hard to find two spots in that lineup at the moment. Unless you kind of give up on Lau and Adames, you make them both halftime guys and you kind of do it that way.
Yeah. I mean, and Forrest asks a good question. What about the Rays wanting to save the extra year arbitration? If that's really what they're going to guide their decision based on, then we're talking June at some point. But
we, are, you know, we, are June. We not, are we not past that, the super arb and all that stuff? I mean, I
super two is often, well, this year, I'm not sure about the answer. And it's, first of all, it's not a set date. It's based on a percentage of playing time, service time over accumulated over the course of the year. But I don't know if the minor league season starting in May has any, what that does to that. So it's a quick thing. Yeah, I get that they're cheap. This is a team though. I mean, and that might drive everything. I hate it, but I can understand saving the extra year free agency. Arbitration's a step too far as I'm concerned. I think it's utter crap to the players too. I think that's the thing that really bothers me more than anything else is, you know, the veterans are losing that their end of the bargain on the back half. You know, at least don't screw them on arbitration years. I think it's just awful when it happens like that. And I think, you know, Franco and Brujan are ready. I think they make the team better.
Yeah, every time you flip on Twitter, it seems like Franco does something pretty amazing. So it's it'd be fun. I hope it happens. It's more fun. It's just so crazy that baseball does things. Like, can you imagine the Cavs not starting LeBron James for the first 6 weeks of the season? He's a rookie because of, you know, money reasons. Like, it's only baseball. Yeah. It's just so weird that it's only baseball. I mean, you never see it in any other sport. It's wild.
Well, the thing is, I think hockey you might see it actually. The thing doesn't
like Austin Matthews come up and play right away?
I think you've seen it, but they're the Maple Leafs, and they're also, I think they had, you know, they had ideas of contending. But I think in both cases, there's an established minor leagues.
Yeah.
There's no minor leagues in the NFL. There's the G League in the NBA, but no first round pick goes to the G League.
Right.
So I think it's a little bit different. But until free agency is not tied to service time, I don't see any way around this.
I get why teams do it. It just seems like it's bad for the sport in general. I mean, Jared Kelnick is better than the guys that were starting the first 6 weeks. Like, it's just you're actually physically making your team worse to do it. And it just seems crazy. But I get why teams do it. An extra year of free agency is an extra year of a guy's service time is a big deal. I do get it. I understand it from a business perspective of the team, but it just seems like it just shows short sighted for the sport to not have your best players playing.
Oh, I agree. But and maybe there's a creative solution out there. I haven't seen it yet. All I've heard is baseball's got to do something about this.
Yeah.
Well, do what? I mean, I need like a concrete proposal. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe point me in the right direction. Tell me I'm an idiot or show me I'm wrong, and that's fine. I'd like to read it. I haven't seen it yet. And it's got to be one that's realistic for the owners as well, because it is a big deal to them too.
Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting offseason. We'll just leave it at that. But
yeah,
anybody else you want to talk about before we get out of here? We've gone a little bit long here, but anybody else that is on your mind you want to talk about before we get into next week?
No, I think we're good.
Cool. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. As always, we really appreciate that. If you could please rate and review the podcast, that'd be great. Also, we thank WinBet for their sponsorship of the podcast. Also, if you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jenstead, and we will be on there. If you have anything you want to talk about or address on next week's podcast, hit us up on there. Other than that, hope everybody has a good fantasy week, and take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.